So this whole year, we're going to talk about Jesus. We're going to talk about Jesus and what would he do and the things he did. And in the beginning of this, we have these wristbands, and I believe there's some back there on the table. If you didn't get one, raise your hand. Ken's over there. Travis, Ken, you're a lot better looking than Travis.
Amen.
So we'll get you one of those wristbands. It says Serenity Church, but on the back of it is WWJD. And like I said before, when I started thinking about this, I don't know what Jesus would do a lot of times. And so I sat down and I wrote me a prayer. And I've introduced this prayer to the church here. And if you haven't memorized, say it with me. Jesus, show me what to do. Jesus, prepare me for what is next. Jesus, bless my neighbors as you bless me. Amen, amen, amen. So the title of this message tonight is Jesus Provides. Every one of my messages is going to be similar to that. The things that Jesus does or will do. Jesus provides. When I wrote that down, the first thing that I wrote down after that was, I'm being provided for. What do you think when you hear someone say, hey, I'm being provided for? Me, I think of material needs automatically. I have food, I have water, I have shelter, I have money, I have transportation. All those things that we think we need just to survive. I'm sorry, I'm stuttering so much tonight, I'm dry. But those things that we need just to survive, that's what I think of. Thank you. Oh, man. Ask and you shall receive. Thank you, Jesus. This goes right along with the message. He uses people to provide, too. Well, I ain't quite there yet, but I'm getting there. So last Saturday, and I shared about this in Overcomers because it got to me. We pulled up to Serenity Church Metro. And by the way, if you're not able to come out to Serenity Church Metro, or if you haven't, need to get a hold of me or Ken or Matthew. We meet behind Metro Relief at 8:30. We bag up a bunch of groceries. We head down. We're not so much doing the church service and stuff anymore. And I never have been able to take part much of the outside stuff because I was always helping run a church service. And so now I'm being able to be out there one-on-one with a lot of folks, man, and I'm absolutely digging it. Last week we pulled up and there was this lady sitting on the steps, the back steps of the church. And she had a couple of blankets over the rail. I don't know if y'all remember last week, last Saturday, it was frigid. It was really, really cold. It was cold this morning, but not like last Saturday. And so we pulled up and I saw this lady. And I know who she is. She comes there often, but we hadn't seen her in a while. And so when we pulled up, I went up to her and I said, hello, Birdie. That's what we call her. And she says, how you doing? She goes, I ain't got no shoes. And I could see this lady, she'd been sleeping right there. She had been there on those steps for a while because she knew that we would be there at some point, but she didn't have any shoes on. And I turned to Matthew and I said, Matthew, do we have shoes? And he goes, absolutely, I believe so. We don't know about ladies' shoes. I said, it don't matter if it's men's or ladies' or whatever. Birdie will wear them. And so Matthew got in there and got her some shoes. Then I said, have you had anything to eat? And she says, no, I don't have anything. Well, luckily, Ken's making burritos. And man, we made egg and cheese and meat. And we just made a bunch of, we made 150 burritos last Saturday. And we filled her up, man. And then we gave her some groceries. We gave her some groceries to take with her. But where was she going? She didn't even have a coat. I said, Matthew, do we got anything that we can give her to warm up? And he climbed in the trailer, and yeah, we got some blankets, and we had some coats and stuff. She had nothing to drink. We got her some hot chocolate. And man, I don't know if you know, but man, whenever you're cold outside and you get to get you some hot chocolate, and you hold it around your hands, coffee, whatever, you can feel it. You can actually feel it go down. And it warmed her on the inside. But she still had no shelter. And I was kind of paying attention as we was doing other things, like, and I'd listen to her, and she was asking people for rides to Ennis. And naturally, she asked me, and I said, Bertie, I can't go to Ennis, man. I got church tonight in the colony, and I can't go to Ennis. And then she asked around a little bit longer, and it came to where everybody's packing up and everybody's leaving, and the parking lot starts getting empty. And some of the volunteers that drove there are leaving. And the trailer's being packed up, and I look back and I see Bertie. I see Bertie sitting on the steps, alone, and nobody to help her. And I went over to her, and I said, Bertie, I can't take you to Ennis, but what can I do? And she said, well, can you load my stuff up in your truck? Well, that means I got to take you somewhere. And so we did. I loaded my stuff in her truck, and she jumped in, and I had no idea where we was going, but she said, maybe I can be dropped off underneath the bridge over here. Man, I spent many years of my recovery when I worked for a rehab going to these under the bridge places to get people out from under the bridge. Man, I felt like a heel. I'm going to go take this lady and drop her off under the bridge. That ain't what I wanted to do. That's not part of my plan. So I started looking for churches, and I started looking for shelters, but shelters were all closed down because of COVID, and there was no shelters that were open. And so I ended up pulling down under the bridge. And then we pulled up along next to some people that were walking towards their car. And Bertie says, I think those are probably church people. So we pulled up close, and she rolled down her window, and she says, hey, do y'all have any tents? And they were right by her car, by their car. And they popped the trunk, and it was full of tents. Full of tents. And so we pulled over, and we got a place kind of out of the wind, and she was excited about that. She's like, I've got some shelter tonight. And so by the time I got her stuff out of the back of the truck, these people were already setting their tent up and had it set up for her. And then when I drove away, I went through the checklist. She had food. She had water. She had blankets. She had enough food to last a couple of days, even if she just got in there and hunkered down till the cold was over. She didn't have to leave that tent. My point is, Jesus did that. I didn't do it. Those people that were walking down the street that had the tents didn't do it either. Jesus uses people to provide. Amen. Write that down. Jesus uses people to provide. See, he's doing the providing. We're just the vessels. We're the UPS. We're the Amazon people. Amen. We're delivering the goods. I knew you'd like that. Are you letting Jesus provide through you? Are you blessing others? Write this down. Are you available? Galatians 6:2, by helping each other with your troubles, you truly obey the law of Christ. I want to ask you again, are you available? Now, I went through a long story to make my point about how Jesus uses people. But Jesus don't have to use people. He can use anything he wants. If you look at Matthew 17, Matthew 17, 24 through 27. Jesus uses a fish to provide the tax money. He uses a fish to provide. I believe that's part of your notes. Listen to this. When Jesus and his followers came to Capernaum, the men who collected the temple tax came to Peter. Then they asked, "Does your teacher pay the temple tax?" Peter answered, "Yes, Jesus pays the tax." Peter went into the house, but before he could even speak, Jesus said to him, "What do you think? The kings of the earth collect different kinds of taxes, but who pays the taxes, the king's children or others?" Peter answered, "Other people pay the taxes." Jesus said to Peter, "Then the children of the king don't have to pay the taxes, but we don't want to upset the tax collectors. So go to the lake and fish." Stop right there. We need some money. We need to go pay our taxes. Jesus says, go to the lake and fish. Well, that's not an odd request, because Peter's a fisherman. He's a fisherman. And he could catch fish and sell them. He's done that before. So not an odd request. So go to the lake to fish. Here's the funny part. After you catch the first fish, open its mouth and you'll find a coin in it. Okay. How many fish do you think Peter's ever caught that had a coin in his mouth? Probably zero. I would go as far as to say, I've caught a lot of fish. I'm going to start checking their mouths.
Amen.
Right? After you catch the first fish, open its mouth and you'll find a coin. Take that coin and give it to the tax collectors for you and me. Peter never even asked questions. He just went and did it. I want that kind of faith. I need that kind of faith that Jesus is going to provide for me no matter what.
Amen.
He told Peter, go to the lake and go fishing for the tax money. Like I said, which makes sense. Peter's a fisherman. Let's go catch a bunch of fish. We go sell them. No. He's going to use a fish to provide for the tax money. I was talking with Logan about this on the way in from Lingleville the other night. It was Sunday night. And we were talking about this story, and he told me a story that him and Hope had been sick with COVID, and they'd spent $250 for a test, and then $250 for another one, and then $250 for another one. And then at the end of the month, they're looking at their bank account going, holy crap, we're having a struggle. We're trying to pay our bills here, but man, this COVID thing has really kicked us in the teeth. We don't know what we're going to do. And around my house, we have a funny thing that we've done for years now. We say, go check the mailbox. There's been so many times that we've looked at our bank account and we're like, well, we're struggling right now. Let's go check the mailbox. And we go out to the mailbox and there's a check in it from the electric company, of all places. We overpaid from a job that I had 20 years ago. Go check the mailbox. The job I had 20 years ago sends me a retirement check. A $3,000 retirement check. I didn't even know I had the money there. Go check the mailbox. So Logan, he said, let's go check the mailbox. And they went out to the mailbox, and there was an insurance check that reimbursed them for every one of those $250 that they spent. God, Jesus will provide, but you've got to have faith. You know, that sounds kind of funny, but does it sound as funny as go fishing? And you'll catch a fish with a coin in its mouth? I don't think so. We're going to stick to it. Go check the mailbox. Trina, when's the last time you checked the mailbox? Let's go into a little bit of a different direction now. We talked a lot about the material things and how he provides money and material stuff for us, but what about those non-material needs that we have? Love. Peace, grace and joy and mercy and all those things that we need, that we obviously need to survive. I just now saw that. First Corinthians 13, 4 through 8. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. If you read that scripture, and I learned this a long time ago, Jesus is love. Can we agree? Amen. Jesus is love. So if you put Jesus in all those where it was supposed to be love, Jesus is patient, Jesus is kind. But try this. This is a measuring stick for yourself. Put your own name in there. Logan is patient. Hope is kind. Trina doesn't envy. She giggled after that, didn't he? James is not proud. Just put your name in there. Follow that scripture all the way through and put your name in there. And if you can measure yourself by that, Jesus gives you the ability to love that way. It comes from Him. And so Jesus is providing that love. And if you have that kind of love, you have that kind of peace. If you have that kind of peace, you have that kind of grace for others. And if you have peace and grace and love, you're going to have some joy. All those things that we look for to have, we think we need to survive. Non-materialistic. We need love. Being alone sucks, right? Being alone sucks. And I was alone before, and the people who really loved me wouldn't have anything to do with me. I didn't feel that. But I still was loved by people. But once I got on board with love, once I got on board with having patience and being kind and not envying and not boasting and not being proud and not dishonoring others and not being self-seeking and keeping no records of wrongs and always protecting and always trusting and always hoping and always persevering, when I got on board with that, I received grace, peace, love, joy, all those things I need. And they all come from Jesus. We all agreed a while ago, Jesus is love. That's where it starts. Starts with Jesus. What about Jesus providing a way to escape temptation? He provides a way to escape temptations. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, "The only temptation that has come to you is that which everyone has, but you can trust God, who will not permit you to be tempted more than you can stand. But when you are tempted, He will also give you a way to escape so that you will be able to stand it." A way to escape. What do you think that is? A way to escape your temptation. I think it's pretty simple. Call on His name. When you're in the middle of some temptation, when there's something that is drawing you towards evil, call on His name. Last Sunday, I went to Lingleville Church, and if y'all have ever met Pastor Ryan or heard him preach, you know, he gets pretty wound up. And he was talking about being bent towards temptation. And man, I thought about that all week and how being bent towards temptation. And I was riding along Wednesday night with Dwayne here, and we got into that discussion, and we started talking about how it takes force to be bent. Dwayne mentions rebar. How hard is it to bend rebar? It takes force to push that rebar over, to bend it. It takes force. But what does it take to straighten back out? More force, a power greater. On page 45 of the AA Big Book, it says, lack of power was our dilemma. We had to find a power by which we could live, and it had to be a power greater than ourselves, obviously. But where and how? Where do we find this kind of power? Power to overcome temptation? Where and how? Jesus. And how is step three. Turning your will and your life over to the care of God. Turn your will and your life over to the care of Jesus. We already talked about how he uses people to provide. We talked about how he uses whatever he feels like to provide. We talked about how he is the source, he is the love that provides grace and love and mercy and joy and all those other things that we need. Turn your will and your life over to care of him, and he provides a way out. If you'll look at John 14, let's look at that. John 14, 1 through 6. And I'm getting close to wrapping up. If the guys want to come on back up. John 14, it says, Jesus said, don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and trust in me. There are many rooms in my Father's house, and I would not tell you this if it were not true. I am going to there to prepare you a place, to prepare a place for you. After I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me so that you can may be where I am. You know the way, the place where I'm going. Thomas said to Jesus, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, the life. The only way to the Father is through me. The only way to the Father is through me. Jesus provides the way. There was a guy that came into my office one time when we was over at Metro Relief, and he said, I don't understand why I have to believe in this Jesus guy to get to heaven. And we looked at that scripture, and he still was like, yeah, but I don't know. I don't understand. And so I kind of knew his background a little bit, and I said, hey, you ever been arrested? He said, yeah. I said, so when you went in front of the judge, did you have an attorney with you? And y'all may have heard all that before. And I went through the whole process with him of not having an attorney. How'd that turn out? Not very well. Well, you can look at Jesus as your attorney. And guess what? He happens to be the judge's son. So what do you think your chances are? That changed everything for him. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus was crucified, hung on a cross, laughed at, spit on, beaten unrecognizably, so that we could have a way. If you haven't given your life over to Jesus, I've gone to a lot of churches where they go, okay, now's the time for you to come forward. And we'll pray over you, and we'll sprinkle some stuff on you. And it don't have to be that way. Right on. It don't have to be that way. You can do it right there in your seat. Just to be honest with you, I have to do it every day. I have to give myself over to him again every day because I want to take control. I want to take it back. I think I can provide for myself. comes from Him, the one who gave His life for us. Trina, my wife will be in the back. She's willing to pray for you. Lori, Lanier, will you stand over there? And if you need some prayer from these ladies, they are prayer warriors. Don't forget about Ken. He might not want you. He probably don't even want me saying this, but he needs you. Amen. Love on him a little bit tonight. And if there's anything that you need to get off your chest, I'll be willing to talk with you after church. I love you. Y'all pray with me. Lord in heaven, we thank you. We thank you that you made a way. We thank you that you provide everything for us, that you leave no stone unturned. Lord, we love you. We thank you. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.